I'll have all the high school grads and college grads come up here and have you make a line right down the row here, if you would, please. It's been a real joy, I guess, watching these students mature over the years and see what they've turned into. And this past Wednesday, we had our last aftershock. Let's see if I can do this. Meeting, and the verse we shared was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And it's an exciting weekend, and lots of stuff happening. But sometimes we get wrapped up in that, and we forget there's a lot of anxiety sometimes and lots of changes. And we just wanted to stress that God has a plan for each one of these people up here. And what I'll do now is, before I hand the mic off, we did make a little care package. I'll maybe this give you what we have here. Yeah, they're good for that. All right, so we have a laundry basket. Max graduated last year. This will come back overflowing, overflowing. We have a towel. You can make one towel last a long time if you just hang it up every time, over and over and over again. Post-it notes, doors, roommates, leave them notes. I know social media is the way most people communicate. These are still pretty handy. Assuming you go to class, when you go to class, your highlighters, duct tape, I don't need to say anything else. This may be more for our males up here, some room odor masker, some room spray. And then we'll know you'll need your tissues because you miss us so much. So It's a small, you know, gift or appreciation for you guys, and we hope you can make it useful. Oh, and there's also a card in there. So I'm going to hand this mic down and just say your name. And I guess I'm trying to see if we're all Hampton Dumont Cal graduates up here. Maybe where you're graduating from, and then maybe future plans. So we'll start right here.
I'm Ashlyn Klein. I'm graduating from Hampton, and I'm going to go to NIAC.
I'm Meg Christensen. I'm graduating from Hampton, and I'm going to NIAC and Iowa State.
I'm Anna Westoff. I'm graduating from Hampton, and I'm going on the World Race, a 9-month mission trip.
I'm Jacob Van Horn. I graduate from Hampton. I'll be living in Ames, but taking online classes through DMAC.
I'm Bianca Tilke. I'm graduating from Hampton, and I'll be going to Iowa State.
My name's Ken Gibson. I go to Hampton, and I'll be graduating. Well, I'll be going to NIAC.
My name's Emma Sackville, and I'll be graduating from Hampton, and I'll be going to the University of Iowa.
Thanks, guys. Bill Rickenbacker and I both work at the youth group, and I'm going to have Bill say a prayer for these graduates.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as your word stated, that Dan read, that you have plans for us. And Lord, I know of another spot in your good book that states that man makes his own plans and you laugh. Lord, we have a group in front of us here today that you already know all their plans. And Lord, I also know that as a young person myself, once upon a time, I had my own plans also. Lord, I ask that this upcoming time, as they go forth and go out into the world that you have created, that you would help to bring your plans into their life, that they would understand and realize who they are and be able to seek you with their plans, that you would be glorified through it. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given us as a church and a body of believers to help to guide and direct all these young students. We put them in your hands now as they go forth. Ask these things in your name. Amen.
All right. If you guys could sit right down there, and then at the end of the service, you can pick up your baskets.
Well, this is a great day, and I just welcome all family and friends But this is a day when I choose to talk to this first row right here. And not because they necessarily need it, but because it's kind of my last opportunity just to kind of to talk with them. And so I'm going to be sitting down at their level, and you guys can listen in. I think there'll be plenty for you to catch in this, but I put in the bulletin, I was talking to Brenda about what we were going to talk about today, and I had back pocket God. And as I got to thinking about that, that really didn't fit what I wanted to say. And so I'm actually changed it between the time when she printed that thing and the time that it got, it's here today, okay? It now is backpack God, because it fits more what I'm talking about. So I brought today something that you all are probably going to use or have used, but a backpack. But this is not my backpack. This is not what I carry my books in and go to work with. This is my emergency backpack. So, and some people think I'm crazy for having one of these things, but sometimes it's called a bug out bag. If something happens, if there's an emergency, this is the one bag I want, okay? This is all I want right here, okay? Because inside this thing is all the things, if there's an emergency, this is what I need to go to. It's the just-in-case bag, right? That's what it is. So inside this bag, I'm going to show you a few things. There are more things in this bag than I'm going to show you because they're just not appropriate for a Sunday morning. However, this one is, okay? Okay, if something happens and I'm out in the woods, this is one thing I want, okay? I also have a small set of batteries and usually carry a different couple of these things, different sizes, because if for heaven's sake, if the electrical grid goes down and my cell phone doesn't work, what am I going to do? Well, I need to have other things, so I'm going to dig a little bit further. I got a couple of rain pouches in here because I figured that Rosemary will be with me when I'm out there. So a couple of those. I also have a water purification system right here, okay? So if nothing works, how am I going to get something to drink, okay? And so this will work along with these bottles, which are not full. They're not full. I don't keep my water bottles full because it'll be stale water by the time I need it, okay? So those two go together. Just some rags. I do have a couple of things in here. People say, well, this is strange. I have two walkie-talkies in here. I don't know why. They were camouflaged, okay? So they went in the box. A flashlight. And then there's more stuff in there. But the point, oh, no, there's another pocket. Okay, up here. Matches, all right. A leather, this is actually a buck knife, but just a knife that I could use to clean stuff if I needed to. There is a Leatherman in here that has all different kinds of tools in it that I can, you know, you just never know what you're going to need. It's compact, it works. You can kind of see what this is, can't you? Okay, it's kind of strange, isn't it, Bianca? Yeah, I know. Well, you know, you guys thought you knew me. I'm not sure you really do. Anyway, just thinking in terms of the future. So, just in case bag, right? That's what it is. You know, when I think about this bag, I think that sometimes we treat God like this bag, right? He's our just in case bag. We put him in our back because that's where we can hang on to him. We can control him from that position. And but you know, this thing just kind of sits in my back seat most of the time. Just very seldom do I ever access it. And sometimes this is kind of like our backpack. Now, you all are familiar with the generations, and so I want to talk with you about a story out of the book of Judges. Now, this is Old Testament, I understand, but I'm going to try and make Old Testament kind of come alive for you a little bit. So I want you to think about Moses, okay? So Moses, and you think about Moses, you think about, okay, he was in Egypt, and he came out of Egypt and went back into Egypt and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in the process, you know, they got the Ten Commandments. They saw the fire in the mountain. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because they disobeyed God. And, you know, Moses had an anger problem, so he hit the rock when he shouldn't have hit the rock and couldn't go into the promised land. That's Generation M, okay? Then there's the next generation that comes after him, which is Generation J. Okay, so that's 40 to 60 years of Generation M, all right? That's your grandfather's generation. Then Generation J comes along. Generation J is Joshua. Joshua, who's the mighty man. Joshua walked around the battle of Jericho, and the walls came down, and they went into the land of Canaan, and they basically displaced all the people in there, and that's a whole other story, which we've talked about in youth group, which you guys kind of got freaked out about the fact that, you know, that God was killing people. It's kind of like, yeah, well, that's a whole other story, okay? But Generation J saw some wonderful things that God did. In places where there were giants in the land, these people came in and they took out the giants, and God gave them the land of Israel. He gave them this place, and they saw all this stuff. So Generation M experienced coming out of Egypt in a mighty way, crossing the Red Sea, seeing the law given to them, seeing the fire in the mountain, seeing God, really experiencing who God was. Generation J also experienced who God was. So when they walked across the Jordan River, they walked across on dry land, just like the Red Sea. They walked across on dry land. They came in. They got rid of all these people. They took over houses they didn't build. They had vineyards they didn't plant. And they enjoyed all of the product that God gave to them because God was their God, Generation J. And then we come to Generation O. You're saying, what's Generation O? I don't know. I just pulled it out of the air. Because I don't know how they get arrived at these generation titles anyway. But Generation O is the next generation. So Generation M knew God. Generation J knew God. And by knew, I mean experienced. Having experienced all that he'd given and come up against hard things, and then God came through for him. That's those two generations. And then we come to this verse in the book of Judges. Now, read this. After that generation died, after that generation, that's Generation J. After that generation died, Generation J, Joshua's generation, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge God or remember the mighty things that he had done for Israel. Interesting thing about generations. Generations, every generation has a choice. We all have a choice to make. Are we going to follow God or we're not going to follow God? So it says here that they didn't acknowledge God. The word here is actually to know, to experience, to understand, to have been a part of something that God has done in your life. And all of a sudden you say, God is bigger than all the things that I have to deal with. He's bigger than all that stuff. By the way, if your God isn't big enough to handle the stuff that you've got coming ahead, you got too little a God. You got a puny God. Puny. I was talking to someone yesterday about this, and we were talking about creation. And you know, I believe in a young earth. I believe that the earth was created in 6 days. And I believe God created it in such a way that it looks like it's a billion years old, but he did it in 6 days. That's how big my God is. And you say, well, that can't be. I says, why can't it be? It's entirely possible. He's a God that's bigger than all creation. So my God is big, but these people didn't acknowledge my God. They didn't acknowledge Generation J's God. They didn't acknowledge Generation M's God. They were Generation O, and you know what? We're going to do what we want to do. And here's what they did. Sue, give me another slide while I shut this thing off and turn it back on again. Oh, I love technology. The Israelites, that's this Generation O, did evil in the Lord's sight. The Lord, meaning God Almighty, and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, generations M and J, who had brought them out of Egypt, and they went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them. And they angered the Lord, and they abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtaroth. Now, you can just see there what they did. It says they abandoned the Lord. Why? Because they wanted to worship what was around them. It says they worshiped the gods of the people that were around them. The culture that was around them, the community that was around them, that's who they chose to worship. Well, why would they do that? Why would you worship Baal and Astra and an image that was around you when you had a God who was big enough to create the world in 6 days and make it look like it's a billion years old? Why would you do such a thing? Well, it's because we all want it. We all want what the community offers. And this is what the community offers. First of all, it offers success. Now, you're sitting here, and you're graduating from high school, and you've succeeded at high school, and now you're going on to the next generation, you're going on to the next level, and you want to succeed. So what is success for you? I want to graduate from college, I want to get a good job, I want to pay off all my debts that I've got, and I want to have kids. Maybe you don't, maybe you just want to live by yourself in a hermit I don't know. But whatever you classify as success, okay, whatever you think life is going to be for you, okay, that's called success. You want it? By the way, every person who's in back of you wants it also. And we live our lives for this. And our culture says success is one thing, and God says success is something entirely different. And they're at definite odds with one another. The next thing that we all want is we want to be accepted. There's not one of us that doesn't want to be accepted. When we get unfriended on Facebook, we don't like it. Okay? Put it in your category. I don't know what social media you're working with, okay? But whatever it is, when somebody says something bad about you, it turns you up inside out. Inside. In your bedroom, somebody can reach into your bedroom without them even being there through that social media, and they can change your life in an instant because they say something bad. Why is that? Because we all want to be accepted. And we want to be accepted by the people that are around us, the people in our community. Right? We do. We want to be accepted by our community. In fact, when we tell people to go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, the reason we don't share is because we want to be accepted, and when we share the gospel, we look like we're weirdos. And we want to be accepted, therefore we don't share because we want to be accepted. See, we're really not so far off of Generation O. And the last one is we all want enjoyment. We want pleasure. We want to enjoy ourselves. Now, any one of those three are not bad because they're all human needs. We all need them. But the question is, how do we get them fulfilled? That's the question. And so when you talk about the gods of the people that are around these people, first of all, understand they worshiped the gods that were around them because it was convenient to them. All right? So you have to picture Israel, all right? So that screen right there, that's Israel, okay? That's how long and narrow Israel is, okay? Jerusalem is down at the base of the stool that's in front there, okay? That's where Jerusalem's at. That's where you go to worship Yahweh, God Almighty, all right? That's where you go to worship him. But if you live up in the northern part, where the third part up there, I got to travel all the way to Jerusalem these feast days to go worship Yahweh when there's a shrine just outside of my town a little bit, and it has a little idol called Baal there sitting there, and Astra poles, which are really I really don't want to talk about them, what they are. They're gross, and anyway, I'll explain why that is in a minute here. But you can go out there and you can worship him. And so these people start to think this way. They say, well, I think during the week, and at times I can't go to Jerusalem, I'm going to go up here, I'm going to worship these gods up here, and then I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to worship down there, and I'm going to have two different gods that I'm going to worship because I'm going to make all my options open. I'm not sure God is really God, but I'm not sure Baal's not really Baal either. So who is Baal? Baal is the god of rain and thunder and storms. Now remember that. God's the god of rain, thunder, and storms. Right? Astaroth is his consort. That's a nice way for saying He's his sexual partner in fertility. She's the goddess of fertility. Now, you have to understand, they live in an agrarian culture, kind of like us, okay? We're in the same situation right now. We've got a lot of rain, okay? And there's a lot of farmers who are saying, okay, God, what you going to do about this? You know, we're in deep trouble. If we don't get this ground planted, what's going to happen? Well, those people were the same. They just didn't have 16 and 32-row planters. They planted by hand, but they still had to plant in order to eat. Baal's the god of rain. Asherith is the god of fertility. You want your animals to be fertile. You want them to have kids. You want to have kids, okay? You want to have many kids because many kids makes the work a lot lighter on the farm. Therefore, you have lots of kids, okay? And so if I'm going to worship these things, what they do is what they believed was when Baal and Asherith got together in sexual relationship, that's what caused the fertility. These are the gods. And so if we mimic the gods here on earth in worshiping them, then they will make it fertile for us, and we'll have success, acceptance, and enjoyment. So the worship of Baal and Asherah had a couple things that were wrong with it. Number one, this is not God Almighty. Okay? Number two, it's an idol. It's an image made by a man to something you bow down to. And three, it encouraged immorality. Sex outside of marriage with someone other than your spouse at any time. Because that's the way we do it. That's the way the community does it. That's what happens. It gives pleasure, it gives success, and it gives acceptance. Wow. Think about your communities. What's promoted in your communities? Sex outside of marriage. It's for enjoyment. That's all it's for. It's just for having fun. If you do it, you're accepted. If you don't do it, you're not accepted. You're outside the loop. And success comes by the people you know. And if you hook up with the right people, then you might have something happen in your life that will benefit your life. And you look at all that and you say, you know, well, we have the same kind of gods in our world. We just don't have little idols, but we have the same pressures in our lives. So these people were not so much unlike ourselves, but let's talk about the rest of the story. So that's who Baal is. And so this is what God Almighty said and did for these people. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned. And the people were in great distress. Now, I want you to think about this a minute. I want you to think about how long is a generation. How long is a generation? What would you say? 40 years? 60 years? 80 years? Okay, so a generation would be the length of the time someone would live, right? Okay. These cycles that are in Judges took a generation. It took a lifetime. Now, put that on the back of your head a little bit. It takes a lifetime for God to change the minds of a generation. Whoa. It says, every time Israel, that's these people that we're talking about, went out to battle, the Lord fought against them. Why? Because they had chosen to serve the gods of their community rather than the God Almighty. Where did they put God Almighty? Can you tell me? You're looking at it, aren't you? In the just-in-case bag in their life. Just in case I need him, he'll be there for me. Just in case. So, because God doesn't like to be in the just-in-case bag, he's kind of inside here going like this. Let me out of here. Not really, okay? Essentially, he says, okay, if you're not going to follow me, then I am going to push back against you. And he didn't give them what? Success. He didn't allow them to have success in their lives. What else didn't they get? What is the idea of distress? Are you having joy and pleasure in distress? No, it's pain and suffering in distress. So they didn't have enjoyment. They didn't have success. They didn't have enjoyment. Did they have acceptance? Oh, yeah, they might have had a little acceptance in the community because they were still on the same plane as the community. But it was a limited acceptance. Every time they went out to battle, they were in great distress. When you choose, and this is one of the lessons of this story, is when you choose to follow after the gods of the community, okay, this will be the answer. Only it won't happen overnight. You can start it today, and you can choose today, and you can do it today, and you can live your entire life almost. But you get down the road, and you start to realize, I've climbed the wrong ladder. It's leaning against the wrong wall. I'm distressed. I don't have enjoyment. There's no success in my life. Because they chose this. And remember, it takes a generation for this stuff to come out. Interesting thing. There's a story in chapter 3 of the first judge that God raises up. A judge is a rescuer, is what he is. It's a rescuer for the people. And it says that the God allowed a nation to come in and basically trample and steal all that Israel had, okay? And then God raised up this man by the name of Othniel. And he comes up and he helps them. He rescues them. And it says, when the people cried out to the Lord for help, what does it say? It says, the Lord denied them and said, I am not going to do it. You put me in the backpack, so have your own way, do your own thing. I'm not coming to your aid. That's what he said, right? No. Look at it. The Lord, God Almighty, raised up a rescuer for them and saved them. When they reached into their bag and they pulled God out of the bag and said, We need your help. God didn't say, oh, well, you just had it. Go suffer. He says, no, I'll help you. But remember, it took 20 years to get into this place. It took about 3 or 4 years to get out of it, and then they had peace for 40 years. And then the next generation came along. You know what the next generation did? The same thing Generation O did. They served the Baals and the Asherah. They got into trouble. They had distress. They called out to God, and God rescued them. Now, I see in this grace. I see the grace of God in this. That we all, and I speak to everybody, we all do this. We have our pet sins. We fall into our pet sins. We find out that we feel guilty about them. We come and we confess them to God, and he rescues us out of them, and then we come back to serve him, and we worship him, and then we do it again. And we fall into the idol worship as well, all the time. And so what I'm trying to say, what I think God is saying to us today is this, that he wants to know if you're going to be a backpack God, if you want him to be a backpack God, or you want him to be a cell phone God. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? Where do you hold on to this? Where do you put it? Okay, most teenagers, most young people, I mean, you're not even teenagers, you're young people, okay? Most young people have got this in their hand, their front pocket, someplace easily accessible. And if you leave it anywhere, what's the first thing you do? Oh, no, I got to get my phone. You know, I'm no different. I leave my phone at home and I got to go back and get it because it's my lifeline. Is God your lifeline, or is he in your backpack? Is he just in case, or is he, I can't live without him? It's a question. It's a choice. Now, as I was reviewing this, as we were singing songs over here, the Father said to me, you need to share an experience. Okay, so I know that I'm 65 years old and I'm much older than you guys. And I know sometimes you think that we don't know what we're talking about. Okay, so let me just share with you a little college experience. This is not stuff that I would be proud of. This is kind of like the skeletons in the closet. Okay, you'd like to get rid of them. You'd like to get them to go away. Okay, so I grew up in church. And I went to Iowa State University, and this is in the 70s. So 70s were kind of a wild time. Free drugs, free sex, free whatever you want, just have at it, okay, type of stuff. And when I left home and went away, you know, you tell everybody what you're going to do, and then you go and you do what you wanted to do. You kind of do whatever makes you feel right. Interesting, there's a verse in Judges that says that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. So when I went to school, it was kind of like, oh, well, you know, I don't have to go to church if I don't want to, and I really didn't feel like going to church. And so a lot of Sundays I'd sleep in. And I knew I needed to get involved in some kind of youth activity or some activity, and so I did that, and you went to football games, and you kind of tried to figure out your life. And I grew up in a non-drinking family. That was just the way we were raised. And so there was an acceptance point here, and there's two stories here I need to relate to you. One is this idea that I wanted to fit in. I wanted to fit in the college scene. But on this side over here was this little voice that kept saying, you know, Dave, you need to stand up for me. You need to do what you were trained to do. You need to do what to follow me over here. And on this side of this other voice is saying, you know, you need to fit in. You know, you got to be accepted by these people. If you spent your high school over here, let's go do something. And so one night, they're going to have a party at a place outside of town. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but I was going to go to a party, and it was kind of this, you know, floors getting together and having a keg out there and a lot of beer flowing and all that kind of stuff. So I went out to this party all by myself. I just went in, and I got into this place. And so, because I was raised in a church that where you didn't dance and you didn't play cards and didn't chew and you didn't dance with girls who did, and you know, you didn't drink beer, and you know, all these things that were acceptance issues, I never did them. And I said, oh man, I got to do something here. So I go in here, and well, you know, if you've never danced in your whole life, you don't have a clue how to do this. And then the beer is flowing out of this deal, and I don't drink beer. I don't even like the stuff. And so I decided to go into the tap room. Now, I'm underage. I mean, there's nobody of age in this room, okay? So I go into the tap room, and I said, I'll pour the beer for whoever wants to drink it. So I'm in this room, and I'm pouring the beer in there, and they have to show me how to do this because I have no clue what you do. I got way too much head on most of it. So I'm pouring this beer into this deal, and I'm putting them up on this shelf, and there's a glass wall between me and whoever's out there. It's a little room, and this girl comes up to the door, up to that thing, and she's going to get her beer. She looks in, and she says, David Konigsberg, what are you doing in there? Classmate from high school. Where am I at? God is really good. God is really good. Because he warned me. He warned me. I was out of there like a bat on a... Just, I'm out, I'm gone. I'm gone. Now, please understand, I'm not saying any of this stuff. I'm not make a comment about how I was raised or about drinking. I'm not making that statement. I'm just saying I was in the wrong place at the wrong time because I was trying to be accepted. I wanted to put God in my backpack. He's there just in case, and then it'll be okay, okay? So let me relate another story that I don't think I've ever told to anybody. But it's really, really important because you guys live in this generation. You live in the sexual generation. Now, I thought that I did back in the 70s. It's not even close today to what the 70s were. It's way, way beyond it. So, when you're in college, you want to be accepted, especially by the opposite sex. You want to build relationships. You want to kind of get in relationships. And so, I went to a youth group, and I found a girl that I like, and I invited her to go to a football game, and then it was raining at the football game, so I said, why don't you come back to my room? Well, I didn't have a roommate at that time, so there was nobody in the room. And so we came in and we sat down, and I said, well, let me give you a back rub. And, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not going any farther than that, because this is what happened. This is what happened. The Spirit of God said to me, what are you doing? That's what he said to me. And it was at that point I said, okay, this is done. Can I walk you home? Literally, that's what happened. But I could have been a wreck. Just think about it. Had I continued that relationship in that room to its end, to its logical conclusion, can I literally serve as a pastor? Well, yeah, I probably could. But I would serve at a lot lower level than if God asked me to serve up here. He literally said to me, what are you doing? We walked her home. The relationship was over. I never saw the woman again. Okay. You know, I talked about these skeletons in my closet because sometimes I think vulnerability is really important for you guys to understand that I'm no different than you. I may have gray hair and you may not, okay, but you're going to have gray hair someday. I tried to put God in this bag. I tried. He wouldn't stay in the bag. But I had to be willing to listen to what he was saying. You have to choose. You have to choose. Now, the reason I share this with you, I'm digging for the rag. Getting too darn old to mince words. Stories are not good unless stories have a purpose. Each one of you are making choices. And I'm going to tell you this much. The choices you make today and the choices you make tomorrow and the choices you make when you get to college are all still in your life. You don't walk away from them. Never. Question is, what are you going to do with them? Is God going to be your backpack God, or is he going to be your cell phone God? You got to make a choice. Joshua said that to his people in Generation J and Generation O. This is what he says in the book of Joshua, the 24th verse. So fear the Lord. Serve him wholeheartedly. Put away every idol of your ancestors worshipped. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Will you prefer the gods of your ancestors or the gods of the Amorites, the people you're around, the community you're in? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. May I say to you, as for me and my family, that's Rosemary and I, because the rest of my family has left and gone and made their own families. As for us, we will serve the Lord. Does that mean that we don't make mistakes? Absolutely not. I make them every week. And every time I make a mistake, the Lord says, are you ready to come back? And it gets shorter, the time between when I make a mistake and I confess and I come back. It's just faster. But make a choice. And make a choice today. So would you all bow your heads with me a minute? We all need to make choices today. Not just these graduates. Lord, I'm pleading with you. Forgive me and forgive us when we put you in the backpack. just in case. Lord, I'm praying for these students that they would choose today. It's their choice, Lord. Literally, it's their choice. They can serve the gods of this community, or they can serve you, but they can't serve both. It doesn't work that way. So I'm praying, Lord, that they would choose you. And Lord, if they like me, try to serve another god, I pray, Father, that you would do exactly what you did to me. That you'd put that face in the mirror, or your face across the glass, or the face across the coffee that says, "What are you doing?" And Lord, by your Spirit, would you speak to their ears and say to them, when they are in the midst of whatever it is they're doing that is offensive to you and a sin against you, you would say to them, "What are you doing?" Lord, for all of us, I ask that you would point out to us one God that we're serving that you are unhappy with. And that one God makes you, Lord God Almighty, a backpack God, because you will not have any other gods before you. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to choose right now for today. And then every morning for the rest of our lives, you would help us to choose every morning before we get out of bed. Lord Jesus, I choose you. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.